The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Today, the Torah way, Chavtal Tammuz Tovshim Pei, 16th July, it's Thursday today, and the shiur is by Rabbi Moshe Betzalel Grosnas. Welcome all. We're standing in the 3 weeks. First of all, by the way, it's good to be back with you all. It's been a while. The last time I did this live, really live, not virtually, was the last time we were all in a Beit HaMedrash. It was the last Torahway Shir that we had locally. So it's good to be back together with you all again today. And we hope that soon we can all be back in shul with the Torahway as well, not just the davening. Now, we're standing in the 3 weeks, and we know that during this Golus that we're in, we might have houses, we might have places to live, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a house. And whenever one thinks to expand, to buy, even to rent, one has to think that we have a house, and our offices have houses, and our schools have a place to be, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochel doesn't have a place to be. So much so that the Peleoid takes this to an extreme, and he writes that one shouldn't, if one has a level of emunah that he's able to just rent and never buy, at least in Chutz Laaretz, he says that would be praiseworthy, because that way he's living sort of the same way as Hashem, and he's also ready to be on the move, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back. So he says that's a level of emunah, but again, not everyone is on that madrega. There's also a concept of b'chol ma'idecho. You're meant to give away all your money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this mean? So I'll give you just one such idea. The Peleoid says that when one builds a house, one should be careful, especially in non-Jewish areas, how nice one makes it. Again, I'm not saying everyone has their mahalach and who they listen to, and etc. I'm just telling you what the Peleoid says. You know, we have to be wise and hear. The Gemara in Chagiga says you have to hear everyone. And I say, the Peleoid says, when one builds a house, again, I don't have this Nisoyan, when one builds a house, he says, you should make the outside shell look not nice. First of all, Maris, Ayin, you know, Ayin Hora, etc., but he says, especially the Goyim, it says, Yoeh, An Yusa, Li Yisrael. An Yus is good for Klal Yisrael. They get jealous, and it causes trouble. So he says, make the front door a little cracked, make some ivy growing between the bricks, you know, so it doesn't look as nice. Inside is a different story, but outside, so he says that. Now, he says that the Golus of Spain, he says, happened was because of the how wealthy they were, it made the Goyim jealous. He says, for instance, that Abarbanel, his wife, had a beautiful ring. Everyone used to say about her some wonders about her ring, and this was Goyim Girush Sfarad. This is what the Peleoid says in Erech Golus. The ring of the wife of the Abarbanel was a certain precursor to the Golus of Sfarad. So we see how careful we have to be. And now, in truth, when they were told to get out of Spain, many didn't leave. Why? Again, the money got in the way. When they had such assets over there in Spain, who would want to leave? Leave millions and millions of pounds, the equivalent of millions and millions of pounds behind in Spain, you know, after all my life's work? The answer is, B'chol Moedecho. Again, everyone has different nisyonis, but B'chol Moedecho. When the time for Mashiach comes, we'll be told to go. I don't know. Maybe we'll be allowed to bring with our bank account, and maybe not. But we have to go. B'chol Moedecho. Even if it means giving away all our money. I'll tell you, in a practical case, Rav Shach, when he was a chosen, he got married to a poor girl, a nephew of Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. I think Rav Issa Zalman was very misspelled from him. I saw it somewhere just lately, that Reb Malkiel Kotler has in his, or Reb Schneer Kotler has in his silver cabinet, he has a pair of shoes. A pair of worn-out shoes. What's the story of the worn-out shoes? I think it was during World War I. Reb Shachar went home, something like that, because the yeshiva's closed. You know, like now, the yeshiva's closed. So the yeshiva's closed, so he went home. And I don't know if I have the story totally correct, but basically when he came home, his mother said, what are you going to do here? You know, what's there to do here? There's nothing. You're not going to steig at home. So he walked back to yeshiva, and he came to Ritter's alma melter, and he told him, I'm back here to learn. and he walked with these shoes. There wasn't much yeshiva going on, but he did do well during World War I. He learned in a Beit HaMedrash, and someone fed him the whole way through. So Lamaisa, Rabbi Zalman bought those shoes off him because he was so mispoil that he walked all the way back to learn in yeshiva or in a vicinity of Torah, even though there wasn't much to do there. Now, Rav Shach, when he got married to this poor girl, his friend said, you could have earned yourself a dira. You know, there's such a concept of, I'm a chosh of a bocha, so give me a dira to live in and another dira to make a panosa from so I can stay learning. Rav Shach didn't demand that. He couldn't demand that. His color wasn't very rich. So so his friend shepherded him a bit. But he said when it came to World War II, the Nazis were coming. His friends didn't leave. They all had houses. And they felt, no, we're more cultured here in Lithuania. The Nazis don't mean us. They won't do anything. They talked themselves into all sorts of things. But the depth was the asset was holding them back. Rav Shach said, I didn't have a house. I got up and I went to Eretz Yisrael, and the rest is history. So the message, I guess, is that we're in Golus. And when we're in Golus, we have to somewhat remember that, and we have to remember that we have an avoida of Ahavta Hashem Lekecha, and B'chol Moedecha, that the money has to be channeled towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if, in Eretz Hashem, it should be with the Oisha, we can go to Mashiach, but if it calls for, to pick up and go sometimes, then B'chol Moedecha is a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone has their korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was by a sofa, he told me a very nice thing. He has a box full of tefillin that went wrong. Now tefillin, as soon as you make a mistake and you've gone further, you can't really fix up. So he told me, everyone has their b'chol moedecha, their korbanos to Hashem. All these tefillin, if I would just do a little something to them, no one would know. And they would make me good money. Obedus is my karbonus takodish baruch. That's what he said to me. These are my, I keep them in a box, special. They're my karbonus takodish baruch, that I'm pure, and I say, no, money doesn't beat me, and I'm not going to fix it, and that's how it is. Now, Lamaisa, as we said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have a house. So let's build him a house. It says in the Gemara, one thing isn't destroyed from the house of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's, I guess, what the menorah resembles, and that is Torah. Even today, in the Golus, there is some element of Beis HaMikdash, Mikdash Ma'at in our hearts. If we learn Halacha, then Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elo Dal Adam Shel Halacha. So let me share with you a few Divrei Halacha, mainly came up to me last night, and maybe one or two other Nekudas. We've all been davening. I know we've all heard enough about Garden Minyanim and all the rest of that. I won't be exactly addressing Garden Minyanim, but we've all been davening. At starters, we were davening at home. After that, we were davening in the garden. And then some are still davening either at home in the garden, and many are already, Baruch Hashem, davening in shuls. And Mi'at Hashem, we should all be zoicha to taka, go back properly to the shuls, healthy and well. We shouldn't need a mask. Everything should pass in the best way. Now, you should know, many people, davening at home was in a way a good experience. You were able to concentrate sometimes a bit better. However, it's also true to say, probably amongst many, that epis tefillah you got wrong because you didn't have the tzibur to remind you. Epis chveis chelik of yom tov davening you might have missed. You might have not known exactly what parsha it was, etc. So we have at the end of Hilchos Shabbos halachas of someone that's going in a midbar and he doesn't know that it's Shabbos today, he doesn't know what day Shabbos is, what does he have to do? There's various mahalchim, how he counts the week and how he keeps Shabbos. Rav Ozner was sent the following shayla in Chelek Ches, Simen Samaches. There was a yid that went with his family to holiday and he made Kiddush and a guy told him, Rabbi Isai, he saw him acting up the Shabbos, he told him, Mister, it's Sunday today. Not your Shabbos. So he got a shock. But basically, he'd been on holiday, and he didn't have the apps that many have, Kanaret. He was a Talmud Chacham, and maybe he, in this case, it was to his Chisoran that he didn't have those apps. And he got Sunday. He thought Sunday was Shabbos. That means on Shabbos, it was Machal of Shabbos. So he turned to the Shevet HaLevi, and he asked, what should he do? So Shevet HaLevi told him, it says the end of Shulchan Aruch, in the end, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, the end of it, in Ramah, he has to be mafrish tzoka, the mechir of a sheep. You see, he's only chayav one chatos, because he forgot Shabbos. So all the malachas he did is one big avera. It's not lots of averas, because of the forgetfulness of Shabbos. He also is meant to fast Monday and Thursday for 40 days. Also not meant to eat basa and drink yain at the end of the fast. And if he doesn't have koyach to fast, he has to redeem the fast with certain stock of money. The Maisa, Rav Ozner says, do you know why this happened to you? I'll tell you why. How can it be in the house of Yirei Hashem that him and his children, his whole family, forget the right day of Shabbos? The only understanding of this was because he went away to a place where there was no minyan. And he davened b'yechidus, and there was no tzibur to remind him. Now, I'm not telling you whether you can or you can't go away to an area without a minyan. I'm just telling you what Rav Ozner says. Again, we have to be wide. People can't cope. You know, if Halacha says, don't have a nice door, some people tell you can have a nice door. But you have to know there are people that say, you shouldn't have a nice door. And it's nishkefelech. Torah is wide, and you have to be broad and hear it all, and then ask your Das Torah where you go. But Al-Kaponim, it says, Rav Ozner says, going away to an area for a while where there's no one to remind you, you lose certain aspects of tzibur. And tzibur can help a person not fall. And that's what we were missing during this time. We have to know what we're missing and be thankful to Kodesh Baruch Hu if we're able to come back to a tzibur. Have gratitude that the tzibur, everyone tips each other. We're one big ishes re'eyu yoyma chazak. The Maisa Rav Ozner finishes off the tshuva and he says to this person, since you're a Talmud Chacham and you're Mezakeh Sarabim, don't fast for 40 days, rather put extra efforts into your shtadlus of your shiurim and your zikri Arabim, v'hu rachum yechaper avoin, and he'll forgive you. And the merirus alev, the bitterness that you machal al Shabbos, that should help instead of sigufin. He says the Maisa, one day he should fast, all the adults of the family should fast one day, and a few times half a day. That's the Psaka Rav Ozner. That's one nekuda relevant to the Garden Minyanim. Another shaila, slightly relevant to the Garden Minyanim, is for the hay fever sufferers. You see, if you daven in the garden, after the shlav of davening in the house, you daven in the garden. And it got quite sunny and hot. There was a lot of siyata d'shmaya with the Garden Minyanim. Hardly rained during most of the time that we needed to be in the Garden Minyan mamash. Hardly rains. Now, those that suffer from hay fever found their eyes very distressed and their nose, etc., because of the situation. And the shaila is, are you allowed to take hay fever medicine on Shabbos? Now, we're not going into the discussion of if he's choli kol gufoy, if he's nofel lemishkov, meaning if he's totally ill because of it, or if he has to go to bed because of it, then of course he's allowed to take medicines. Medicines is not the etzem osur. The gzeira, otu, that you'll come to grind the medicine. So we drop the gzeira by a choli kol aguf when the whole body is ill or if he's no for lemishkov. There is discussion why this gzeira exists at all today. Yeah, who's going to grind some ammonim today? Not grinding medicine today. It's done in the chemist or in the factories. In Memele, it's very low shchiach, and therefore sometimes they use kulav regarding refuah on Shabbos. But either way, the Maisa, it's a registered halacha. We don't have medicine on Shabbos unless within specific criteria. So is hay fever, when he's not falling to his bed and he's not so ill, but it's very distressing and a lot of stuff in his eye and his nose is running, would there be a mokum to be matter medicine for hay fever? And Al-Khari would say, no, why? Me'echatesa. So Rav Zekel Polak has a tshuva to Rav Ozner, and he suggests that there's a halacha called Godel Kvoid Abrius Shadoicha Loisase. Kvoid Abrius is Doicha Loisase Shabbatayah. It doesn't mean every lav. It means the lav of listening to the Drabonon, i.e., Drabonons fall away when it comes to Kvoid Abrius. What would be an example of such Drabonons? For instance, the Gemara says in Erevin, Mem Allah from a base, someone that's gone out of the Tchum only has Dalad Amas to be in. He's not allowed to go back in the Tchum. He's stuck in a Dalad Amas. However, if he needs to be excused, this din of sticking to your Dalad Amos outside the Tchum is Drabonon. You can go and find the Beis HaKiseh or wherever it's relevant to be excused.
Call Halashon.
Because Godel Kvoid Abrius. And so too many Gemaras, Godel Kvoid Abrius pushes away Drabonon. Therefore he suggests that this person's going to have this nose dripping and the eyes and full of gunk and busy, and it's not nice for him, it's not nice for the people around him. Maybe he should be allowed to take medicine, which, by the way, if you know which medicine works, let me know. I don't know these medicines that take away all these things. But anyway, if that would work, then maybe that would be allowed on Shabbos. That's another garden shaila. The Maaser of Ozna Paskins, that he doesn't want to compare it to Kvod HaBrios, because although I guess there is a Gemara in Chagiga that says someone that spits in front of his friend and he becomes disgusted, that's a shaila of Bal Teshaksu, etc., and he could get punished for that. But that's spitting. Someone has a runny nose and gunky eyes is the Maaser, the way of the world. People have colds, etc. You can't just be mutter medicine, stamazoi. So you have to go into other areas of when medicine is permitted. Maybe if there's a pattern, he's been taking it all week, then there's discussions. But Be'etam, Rav Ozna doesn't want to be matir because of Kvod HaBrios. Another shaila, I was asked last night, what is the importance of the yud of the tefillin touching the bayis? I'm just going to get my tefillin to show you, just one second. For those that are on the Zoom, I'll just show you what I mean. I'm sure you all know, but it just brings it to life if we anyway have a screen. Let me show it to you, just one second. Talking about the Shaliyad. So on the Shaliyad, we have this knot, the Yud. Yeah, the Yud touches the bias. There's a Kfeder that should touch the bias. So the Shaila is, what is this Kfeder? And if it's not touching, which often you'll find it's not touching, are you Yoitza? So you should know, the Shulchan Aruch says that the kesher should be facing your heart, should be on the side of the tefillin inward, and you have to be careful, it shouldn't move away from the tefillin, it should be touching. So first of all, avadi yoytzer if it's not touching, it's just the yeshli zoeh, you have to be careful. It's not that you're not yoytzer if it's not touching. However, in Parashas Pinchos, the Zoeh HaKadosh says, Dvorim Charifim, sharp words about someone that's not careful that the Yud is touching. He says it's Harchoka from the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's not touching. It's a very sharp thing, and people are very careful about this. The Shai Tshuva brings V'shem HaMekubolim, that there's a Zahiris to make sure the Yud is touching the bayis, even when it's in your tefillin bag. Not only while you're davening. That's why you'll find people sometimes have a gid, some sort of string made out of materials of tefillin, so shouldn't be chatzitzas, and they attach it tightly in a way that's going to be stuck sort of to the bayis. Now the shaila is, you know, if you make that yud touch the bayis, then you're going to have to sort of, there's a base, and then there's the bayis, the tall bit, and the base that goes on your arm. Now, the yud has to touch the bayis, so you're going to have to elevate it over the frame. By doing that, that yud won't touch your arm. And there's a bit of a kpeda that yud should also touch your arm and also touch the bayis. Therefore, what do? You look at your tefillin, you'll find a groove, and we fit that yud through the groove, and it touches the bayis. The Avnei Nezer says, on that chadoshim mikor of bo, it's a new invention, no one used to have that groove in their tefillin, and he says, you don't need that yud to touch the bayis. It should just touch the frame and your arm, and don't make grooves in your tefillin. So you have an Avnei Nezer if it's not touching your bayis to rely on, but the Maita, the psak of the world is that the yud should be touching the bayis. It's a zahirus thing, it's not ma'akov in halacha. If it's, okay, I think that's enough on that nekuda, although there's a lot more to talk about. The next nekuda I want to discuss is the Gemara in Hoyrius. The Gemara in Hoyrius, these are all shaylas that just came up to me in the mainly last night and one on Shabbos. You see, we have in our house, we have a lot of olives by the Shabbos meal, Shabbos day, a lot of pickled olives. The shaylas, how much can you eat from these olives? They're very tasty and, you know, you want to have a few. Can you just have them or not? The Gemara in Hoyrius is given on a vase, says, five things make a person forget his learning. One of those things are harogil bezeisim. Someone that has a lot of olives forgets his learning. It also says in the Gemara, five things return the learning to a person. And one of those things is none other than olive oil. So olives make you forget, and olive oil makes you remember. The Gemara finishes off, Rabbi Yochanan says, just like zayis and olive makes you forget learning of 70 years, which means even if you've learned for 70 years, you'll still forget your learning. So too, olive oil can bring back learning of 70 years. So they're the very interesting opposites. The Yaivet, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says a very nice remez, a simon to remember, that zayis makes you forget, and shemen makes you remember. And the remez is, yofe koyach haben mikoyach ha'av. We say in Chazal often, sometimes the son is better than the father. So yofe koyach haben, the oil that comes out of the olive is better mikoyach ha'av than the olive itself. Chaim Kanievsky brings, from Apostle Kinsvorim Chof Chet Mem, ki yishal zezecho, talking about klolus, yishal is Rosh HaTevis, talking about zezecho, ki yishal zezecho, yishal Rosh HaTevis, yishkach limudoi, zezecho makes yishkach limudoi. The shayla is, how many olives can you eat? So Avi Moiri said he asked Rav Chaim Shmuel Lapin this question, and Rav Chaim Shmuel told him that there's no number of olives. It's everyone knows how much is already called too much by them personally. You know when you're eating too much. That's called too much. Now, harogil, in truth, I'm not sure about this whole thing. I'll tell you why. It says harogil v'zeisim. It doesn't say hamarbe v'zeisim. Harogil. What is harogil? Rogil might mean every day, not necessarily an amount. Rogil might mean, some say, two meals in a row. Some say it means every 30 days. There's lots of different takes. What does it mean, regilus? So Mimela, I'm not sure about this whole thing, exactly how to be magdi. You know, if you have many people like me, for instance, only once a week we have a Shabbos meal, olives at one meal. Is that called rogil? I don't know. Maybe it's not rogil because it's only once a week. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'll tell you one more thing that makes me unsure about the whole thing. But again, it's to follow the minhag. But the minhag seems to be to be careful. And Rechaim Kanievsky brings it in his Sefer Zikaron to be careful about olives, not to have too many. However, the Yaivet, who didn't forget his learning, he writes that the olim are not knowing to be careful from eating zeisim. Now, don't take a kalus from this to start eating zeisim. I'm just telling you what the Yaivet says. Again, we have to hear all opinions. But it seems the minhag is to be careful about zeisim. But he says the minhag is not to be careful about zeisim. And he wonders why. It brings the day shikha. So he says, because the Chazal, when they said not to eat zeisim, olives, they're talking about raw olives that have a bitterness, etc. That's what it means. But pickled olives, he says, is a machal talmid chacham. It's a food that talmid chacham is meant to eat. It's what talmid chacham eat. And memela, he says, there's no problem whatsoever. And he brings a raya from Gemara and Yevamos Tezvav on the base that there was a Rabbi Yochanan Achirani used to eat bread, like dry bread every day, and they decided it's not good enough for him. And they sent him olives every day, and so I understand it means he ate olives, you know, for breakfast. So you see, it's a machal talmid chacham, as he wants to say. Okay, some people will say he ate it with bread, there's some sort of hetzer to eat it with bread, it's different, etc. The also Chaim Zonnefeld brings that the hetzer is to make a shidduch between the thing that makes you forget and the thing that makes you remember. Have your zeisim, dip them in olive oil. I never understand that, because always when you bite the zayis itself, some element of olive oil is probably coming out. So you've got the olive with olive oil, and eating olives doesn't seem to help. It's only if you dip it in olive oil. It's a bit hard to understand. But that's what Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says, and many Talmidei Chachamim are makpid taka on that. Now, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, taka, used to have breakfast, I don't know if it was with bread, but he used to have olives, and he was makpid to dip them in olive oil. And that way you have the shidduch of, although the olive makes you forget, the olive oil makes you remember, and therefore I guess you stand at level, at stalemate, and mamela, there's no forgetting. However, Chaim Kanievsky, when he brought out Sefer Zikaron, he wrote over there, that doesn't work. Who said you can make a shidduch between the two? It's true, olive oil helps you remember. It's not going to take away the fact that eating olives makes you forget. And by the way, there's an inyan to be machmir on this, because there's a lav not to forget your learning, especially. And therefore, I guess, if you're not of the school of the Yaivet, there's a reason to be machmir. Shlomo Zalman, when he saw the Sefer of Chaim Kanievsky, the Dor Rabav of Shlomo Zalman, but everyone's machaber of Chaim Kanievsky already years and years and years ago. And he, Reb Shlomo Zalman, told him that that you should know that you've spoiled my breakfast, because I'm going to be machmir like you now, because I'm worried. Although Reb Shlomo Zalman didn't forget much, so it didn't seem to do much harm to him, when he, at least when he dipped it in olive oil. But Reb Shlomo Zalman was machmir from then on not to have so many olives dipped even in olive oil, because Chaim Kanievsky wrote that olive oil doesn't help. The Maisa in his later years, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach reverted back to having the olive due to illness. He had to have it, and he sent a letter to Chaim Kanievsky that he's going to restart. He shouldn't think that he just he pretended to follow him and he's not following him. He wants to lemana emes. That's gedolei tamid chachamim. They're careful to show the emes. We have time for noch a shaila. So, talking about forgetting, this week's Sedra talks about Nadorim. So in Hilchos Tzedakah, there's a lot of shailas of Nadorim. I'll share with you one very interesting shaila that I came across in a Pischei Tshuva in Yoyredeya Reish Nun Ches. The Pischei Tshuva is in Oizhei. The Pischei Tshuva says, there was someone that made a neder to Tzedakah. A certain amount, let's say £100, or 100 ruble. And he said he's giving it to one of the Chevra Kedishas in the town. Now, Chevra Kedisha is not what we know today as Chevra Kedisha. There's only one. It means it could be money for the mikveh, it could be money for Talmud Torah, it could be money for Chevra's Lina, the people that go visit people in the hospitals, it could be the Chevra Kedisha that we know. There's lots of Chevra Kedishas in a town. So now the shaila was, let's say he forgot which one he meant, or he didn't specify which one. Now he has a shaila, who does he give it to? What should he do? Did he mean Achnasas Kala? What did he mean? Says the Chasam Sofer, it's a problem. It's Sofer Kisura, it's a Sofer of a Neda, and you have to Mekayim your Neda, and therefore you have to go around town, find all the Chevras, and give every Chevra the £100. It's going to cost him quite a lot, this forgetfulness, or not being clear about what he wants to give to. That's what he has to do. The Maisa, the Chasam Sofer, has an Eitzah for this person. He says you should call a parlor meeting and invite all the Chevras to one table. Then you should take out a bag with £100, put it on the table, and he says, Raboisai, I gave £100 to a Chevra, one of you. I don't know who, but here, I've given it to all of you, now you deal with it. That's his Eitzah, which is a very interesting Eitzah. That's his answer to solve this person's problem. So we finish Me'en HaPsicha, that we're in Golus now, and may we be Zoche Taka, that the Beit HaMikdash should be built in Herev Yomeinu. Yidden, as we began, travel through this Golus and have various avoiders. Now normally coming towards this time, people are planning the summer holidays, and I think some are. This is a good shaila if it's Kedai or not. But some are, and in Pele Yoyetz, which is the sefer that we started with, he says that when one travels, one should say, Golos Mechaperes, when the plane bumps or when one is uncomfortable. It seems even if one's going for leisure, the Moreh Na'im says that a Yid, when he travels, he's going places because he's got something to oif to in those places. If Hashem says we're not going places, then obviously we don't have what to oif to there. But when we're uncomfortable, even at home, the Pele Yoyetz says, during Pesach time while we're cleaning, and your wife says you're not allowed to go here and there to eat, only in the corner in a box, he says you should say Golos Mechaperes. So I guess lockdown or the mask that will go on your face when you go shopping is also a certain uncomfortableness. It's also part of not being at the times of Binyan Beit HaMikdash, etc. And one can say Golos Mechaperes and one's Mechaven. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says that when the time for Mashiach to come, it will come even if we're not Roi. Hashem will count all the Yisurim that Klal Yisrael have had during the Doros. This is light compared to what many have had during the Doros, but either way, everything counts. All these little bit counts. If one's mechaven, it probably counts more. Wishing you all well. Hatzlacha Rabba. V'kol Tov.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.